laws of divine law, we find peace and harmony. Adherence to Sharia, a blessing for you and me.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program Adherence to Sharia Inshallah let's begin with mentioning an excellence of reciting Durood Sharif It's mentioned in one narration by Sayyidina Ali al-Murtada karram Allahu ta'ala wajhahu al-karim he says that once I was walking with the prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah al-Mukarram we were leaving Makkah al-Mukarram famastaqbalahu jabalun wala shajarun illa wa huwa yaqul assalamu alayka ya rasul Allah he witnessed a miracle prophetic miracle he says no tree no mountain passed us except that it said assalamu alayka ya rasul Allah meaning the tree The mountain knew that this was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. We are ummatis. We should remember our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should recognize him as best as we can. We should learn about his blessed life. And we should most definitely recite as much Durood Sharif upon him as possible. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today's episode and topic will be introduced through a waqia, an incident. Inshallah, then we'll discuss about that topic and Madani pearls that can be extracted. Inshallah, we will mention them as well. Once Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who was the Khalifa of the Muslims, the second Khalifa, and who is the greatest companion after Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, a man with such lofty rank, such maqam, inda Allah wa inda Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He saw that at the doorstep of the masjid, Madinatul Munawwara, there was some food, quite a lot of food. And he asked the Sahaba, he asked the people, where does this food come from? Give information regarding this food. And they said that this food has been brought by someone who lives outside of Medina. And it's for the people of Medina. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu heard this. And he made dua. And he said, give blessings, Ya Allah, in the food. And grant blessings to the one who brought it to our city as well. So he made this supplication. And he also said, how great is that individual who gave us this food, who brought this food for the people of Medina Tayyibah. He brought it from outside of Medina for the people of Medina. When he finished his supplication, people who were present there, people who were mawjood, one of them said, Oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, this food came from outside of Medina, but it's not for the people of Medina. So he said something else. And he mentioned that the purpose of bringing it is to store it and to stock it, to hoard it. And when the rates increase, the market, inflation affects the market and prices rise, the person wants to take advantage of it and sell it to people at an expensive rate. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when he heard this, that this food, this stock, food provisions has come from outside of Medina and it's had the door of Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif ala sahibiha salat wa salam. And the intention is to store it and hoard it until prices rise and take advantage of the price rise and gain more money for it from the people. Sayyidina Umar said, find out who this person is who has this intention. It was mentioned that it's a person who goes by the name of Farrukh. And another person who is a freed slave. Now Farrukh is also a freed slave as well. And Sayyiduna Uthman bin Affan, Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu was the one who freed him initially. After he was freed, he began working. So this food, these provisions, they belong to Farooq, and they also belong to a freed slave as well. Sayyidina Umar said, go and summon them, bring both of them to me. So the Qasid, the one appointed, went, he summoned both of them, they came to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. When they were before him, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, who has given you authority to prevent food from reaching the Muslims? Who are you to do this? This is food, this is provisions, these are items that are consumed, these are drinks. Why are you going to store them and hold them, stock them up, just so that you can take advantage later? You should sell them right now to the needy Muslims. Whoever needs them can purchase their share and they can fulfill their need. What was the answer that was given by the two? They said, Huzur, you are the leader of the faithful, you are Amirul Mu'mineen, you are the Khalifa of the Muslims. This food that you see before you, this provision, or these provisions that you see, we've purchased it with our own wealth. And we will sell it according to our own rates. This is our choice, it's up to us. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when he heard this, he said, I have heard the beloved messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam say. Now before I even mention the narration, just think for a second. That it was such a beautiful time, beautiful era, fragrant era. Whenever they were discussing any issue, they would directly reference what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam mentioned regarding that thing. Allahu Akbar Kabir. So they were trying to persuade someone, to make someone understand. They would give dalil or example from the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. Now here Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he says, I heard the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, whoever prevented food from the Muslims, the need of the Muslims is not fulfilled. And they'll store it until it's more expensive and they'll take advantage of the Muslims by selling it then. So we've already explained that the intention was to store the food, wait till inflation, wait till the price rise, and then take advantage of the price rise and put Muslims into difficulty. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is narrating the hadith that the Prophet alayhi salam said, whoever prevents food from the Muslims, Allah ta'ala will inflict that person leprosy and with ghurba, with poverty. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu mentioned this, Farooq immediately said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, I make a promise with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with you that from now on I will never do this. I will never hoard wealth, hoard food provisions with the intention that he had hoarded it with initially. Now this is the manner in which we should approach things in life as well. Just as Farooq did. That if someone tells us that, brother, this is wrong because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has forbidden this thing. This is disagreeable. Foran, instantly and immediately, we should give up that thing. And we should give tarjih, we should give priority to the command of Allah, the speech of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ahzab, when Allah ta'ala and His beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have said something, have announced something, have passed judgment on something, and that's final. The believers don't have any choice thereafter regarding their matter. The Prophet ﷺ has said something. Now my choice is insignificant. It doesn't matter. It doesn't hold any weight. Allah Ta'ala has commanded me to do something. Labbaik ya Allah. I have no choice whatsoever. So he made a wa'da, a promise with Amir al-Mu'mineen that from this day forth he would not do this. Now the other person, the Sahaba related, the second person, the freed slave, when he heard the hadith, he also said the same thing, that it's my wealth, I can spend in whatever way I like. Who can command me to do anything else? So Farooq actually obeyed, and this person didn't obey. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, whatever he said, the saying of the Prophet alayhi salam, didn't have any effect on the second person. And the Sahaba say, we witnessed with our own eyes that the person who did not accept what Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was saying, just as in the hadith, was inflicted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with calamity, with the thing mentioned in the hadith. The hadith mentioned two things, in fact, leprosy and poverty. And he was inflicted with what was mentioned in the hadith. Allahu Akbar. Now, viewers of Madin Channel, after hearing all of this lengthy account and how Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu dealt with the situation, what was the outcome? You've heard that as well. We have to reflect. In today's day and age, what is our outlook? What is our way of dealing with people? Do we have the same attitude? Let me buy stock. Let me hoard it. Food, provisions and things that people need on a daily basis. Let me withhold it from people. Let me wait when there's a scarcity, until there's a scarcity of that thing. And the price rises and there's a higher demand for it. And I'll charge double, triple the price for it, putting people into difficulty. Is that our mindset? Do we have the mindset that if people need it, I will sell it to them? If possible, I find out somehow that certain people are needy, I'll give it to them at a discounted rate. Someone's very poor, I'll give it to him for free. This is greed as well. This is a strong indicator of greed, that you are trying to benefit from people's difficult situations. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say regarding people who act in this way? People who have this ambition, becoming wealthy and richer at the expense of people's peace and serenity. People be screaming, people be in difficulty, they can't make ends meet. On the other hand, you have others who are taking full advantage of them. They're not showing any sort of mercy towards people. Allah Ta'ala speaks about certain people and their wealth on the Day of Judgment, how it won't benefit them. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. The Day of Judgment, where wealth of people won't benefit them, their offspring won't benefit them, except the one who came to the court of Allah with a sound heart. So are people storing these provisions just to hear the screams of their fellow Muslims? The complaints and the frustrations of their fellow Muslims? Such a diseased heart. Allahu Akbar Kabir. And this is the reality, that people just gather and gather and gather. The Quran tells us, أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرِ. Accumulating an abundance of worldly wealth and riches. This kept you heedless until you saw the graves, you visited the graves, you reached the graves. And this person spent years and years and years of his life acting in this way. And then death overcame him. He wasn't able to benefit from that bank balance, withholding, not spending in the way of Allah, not making things easy for Muslims. He's gone. He's not going to take that wealth in his grave. And people behind, they'll benefit from it. How unfortunate is he? If he hasn't done their proper upbringing, Islamic upbringing, they'll end up spending that money wrongly. That'll be a curse for him. Sin upon sin. Allahu Akbar Kabir. So, the topic was hoarding wealth, withholding, storing, stocking, and waiting for prices to rise. This is not allowed. Especially when you know the Muslims are in need of that item. Food item, daily item. And why don't we shift our mindset? Why don't we shift our thinking? That I've got something that people are in need of, my fellow Muslims, and I should provide it to them. I should make it accessible to them. I should charge them an appropriate rate for that. Or if I know someone who's really struggling, I give it to him for free. Imagine the du'as you will receive in return. And we can never underestimate du'as. Du'as of the believers. Du'as from those whose hearts are broken. Du'as from those who are in great difficulty and worry and calamity and distress. When they do du'a for you, wonders can occur in your life. Look at what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, مَن نَفَّسَ عَن مُؤْمِنٍ كُرْبَةً مِن كُرَبِ الدُّنْيَا نَفَّسَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ كُرْبَةً مِن كُرَبِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. If you remove the hardship of a person from the hardships of the dunya, Allah Ta'ala will remove a hardship for you from the hardships of Qiyamah. Allahu Akbar Kabira. And the second part of the narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَمَنْ يَسَّرَ عَلَى مُعْسِرٍ يَسَّرَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And whoever provides ease for a person who is in great difficulty, Allah Ta'ala will make things easy for that person in the dunya and in the akhirah as well. This is a win-win situation. Allah has put you in a situation where you can help others, you can alleviate the pains of others, the difficulties of others. And for doing so, your own matters are taken care of. Allahu Akbar Kabira. You'll gain ease in the dunya, ease in the akhirah. What more can you ask for? The Muslims are pleased with you. Allah Ta'ala will be pleased with you as well. Especially in the month of Ramadan. We know that Muslims need provisions every day for suhoor and iftar. There are people who are hand to mouth. If they don't earn on a daily basis, they can't fulfill those needs. They don't have investments, they don't have businesses, they don't have shops. They have to work. They have to strive every single day. If they fall ill, what will happen? Difficulty. What happens in the month of Ramadan? People raise the prices. Allahu Akbar, it's been seen that even non-believers understand that this is a month of great religious significance for the believers. And when you go to those shops in non-Muslim countries, they'll even write Ramadan offers. And then you go to a Muslim shop, a shop owned by Muslims, increased Ramadan prices. Whether that's fruits, whether that's oil, whether that's flour, whether that's meat, everything is increased. And the hairdressers, the barbers, they'll be looking forward to the last week of Ramadan. I'm going to double my prices. I want to triple my prices. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Taking advantage of the believers. These poor people, they come to the shop, they have a long list of things, they look at the prices and they think, oh, I thought I'd be able to buy 6 items as per my budget, but I've only been able to afford 3 things. They make their way back out again. They've not even done their full shopping. Why? Because we are letting them down. We are trying to take advantage of them. We are trying to make things hard for them. The hadith is saying, make things easy, remove the difficulties of believers. Allah will remove your difficulties of qiyamah, remove your problems and make ease for you in the dunya and the akhirah. We're doing the opposite. What's wrong with us? What has become of us? Those beautiful, lofty teachings of Islam, we put them to one side and we do whatever we like. And then we want barakah. We want Allah to be pleased with us. We want Ramadan to be pleased with us. We want believers to be happy with us. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Foolish, wishful thinking. Allahu Akbar Kabira. And why do we do this? Why do we increase things? Greed. Avarice. We have to maintain our lifestyles. We know we can live moderately, but no, we have to have clothes that are 10 times the amount that we could purchase from a normal shop. We need to wear branded clothing. We need to eat at restaurants every single day. The same food, if you made it at home, would cost you maybe 20% of the cost. But you'll go to a restaurant every single day. You'll take pictures. You'll put it on social media. The whole world is seeing that. Allama Zarnuji rahmatullahi alayhi. He gives an example of why there is no barakah in food that is purchased from outside. He says, when poor people see you with that food, they see you have that food, become heartbroken. Their children become heartbroken. Because they can't have the same. Barakah leaves that food. We're doing this every day. So we're taking advantage of Muslims, overcharging them, increasing prices so that we can maintain our lifestyle that in most cases, based on what Allama Zarnuji rahmatullahi alayhi said, we're going to flaunt those things, we're going to make those things widespread, we're going to put them on our statuses and all our platforms, we're going to dishearten people, we're going to lose barakah. And we think we're super intelligent. We think we're very intelligent. Allahu Akbar Kabira. We're not intelligent. Intelligent were the believers who are around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the generation that came after them. These were the best of people. And ever since then, you have awliya, you have sulaha. But when you look at the ummah, you find strange things going on. You find most Muslims caught up in these things, involved in these things. And they think it's normal. If you don't do it, you can't get by. You can't make ends meet. Allahu Akbar. This is shaitan deceiving them. الشيطان يعدكم الفقر ويأمركم بالفحشاء. Quran tells you that Shaitan is the one who makes you think you'll end up poor. And we're openly saying, oh, if we don't do haram, we can't earn. Ma'azallah, summa ma'azallah, such a dangerous statement. If we don't involve ourselves in unlawful things and taking advantage of believers and causing problems for believers and hardship for believers, we can't manage. Allahu Akbar Kabir. Is this how weak our iman is? Is this how weak our tawakkul ala Allah is? Is this what has happened to our state? So we need to study, we need to learn, we need to provide ease for Muslims, we need to make things as comfortable for believers as possible in Ramadan Kareem and outside of Ramadan as well. Our character should tell us, should tell the people that we are well-wishers, that we care about the Ummah, we have the concerns of the Ummah in our mind. And when we do this, inshaAllah al-Kareem, Allah Ta'ala will bless us manifold and in ways we can never imagine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who care about the Ummah, who look out for the Ummah, who make it easy for the Muslims, and who remove the difficulties of the believers. Ameen. Bijahi Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In Allah's divine law, we find peace and harmony. Adherence to Sharia, a blessing for you and me.